back when we were fighting the GEO immigrant prison, we discovered, much to our surprise, that for 11 years, Gary had been doing deportations for the entire Chicago area. And the more we found out, the more we realized that what a tragic use of our airport. I've spent a lot of time talking to Sister Joanne of the Handmaidens, the Poor Handmaidens of Christ. Mm-hmm. And she goes every single Friday at 5 a.m. to meet with the detainees. And they used to come from Broadview. Now they're coming from Kankakee. But mainly, they're coming without serious criminal records. These are people, she said, who are basically charged with trying to come back and stay with their families. And she finds it tragic. We find it tragic for two reasons. One, because it's our neighbors who are being deported. I read an article in today's paper that people who have voluntarily checked in, who have been here, this one man they talked about, had been here for 23 years since he was 18. His wife and children are U.S. citizens. He has a job. He has never been arrested in these last, 20 years. But yet he's afraid to even go in for his annual checkup because some people get handed a little note that says, come back next week, you will be deported.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a story, I think, in the Tribune that talks in more detail about that, that there are many, many people who happen to be illegal immigrants who are very, very concerned about reporting in because they are afraid they're going to find themselves on a plane.
There was another article in today's news about Filipinos. We think we know Latinos and especially Mexican and people from Honduras are being targeted, but we sometimes forget about our neighbors to the far east or west, so far west it's east, in the Philippines. And we have brought over tens of thousands of Filipinos, especially nurses. And now they're faced with the same tragic situation as our other brothers and sisters who came like my grandparents. My grandfather, I have his citizenship papers hanging in my wall from 1907. But he came into this country without any papers, and he didn't have any special skills. And he was fleeing repression, religious pogroms. But this country, and especially this area, was built by refugees from the South, i.e. African Americans, and immigrants from Europe. They built the steel mills. They made the steel. They made this state rich. And we do not like to see the use of the airport. Plus, this airport, we have invested millions of dollars in extending the runway, in trying to fix it up. And ever since these deportations started, where has our passenger service gone? I traced it back, and I found the answer. I finally got a copy of a compact from 1995 between Mayor Richard Daley and Mayor Barnes, in which Barnes agreed that our airport would do nothing but relief work for O'Hare and Midway. In other words, what they don't want to do comes to us. And they are not doing the deportations. We are. And so this Friday, and we timed it, unfortunately, during the day, because that's when the buses generally arrive. They leave Kankakee between 9 and 10, usually. They could come at any time. And the people inside the buses are shackled, and the shackles go from the waist to their feet. Mind you, these are not dangerous criminals. And they are brought into the administrative area and then marched into a charter flight that takes them back to the Mexican border or in some cases to Central America. The problem is many. It's not a good use of our airport. It's offensive to our communities. I mean, you look at a place like Lake Station, East Chicago, high number of immigrants, and also not just Latino. There's Polish immigrants and there's Russian immigrants. We are a nation of refugees and immigrants. And in these sweeps, what happens is it endangers the whole community because they don't ask you, excuse me, are you a Panamanian black or are you from Haiti or are you from Brooklyn? And they pick up people And with very little chance for any kind of recourse, they're shipped out. So we have people supporting this vigil at the airport from 10:30 to noon from Valparaiso, from Hobart, from Temple Israel, from East Chicago, from Munster. Very broad number of ministers and pastors are coming to express their condemnation of this. And of course, we know that the cardinal in Chicago has told all Catholic schools and all Catholics that no ICE is to enter their property without a specific search warrant for a specific person. And in that same line, we have produced, with the help of Alfredo Estrada, you might want to have him on, he has written an ordinance for welcoming cities that takes into account the Indiana law that says, oh, cities can't be sanctuaries, and also the national law. And Mayor Karen from Gary is very excited about this, and she plans to promote this ordinance in Gary and to join with cities all over the country that are sanctuary cities. Now, mind you, this ordinance is better than the sanctuary city ordinance because that word has become a no-no. We don't offer sanctuary. We don't refuse to cooperate. What it says is the 10th Amendment to the Constitution says no federal agency shall commandeer local police enforcement agencies, which means ICE can't come in and say to Mayor Karen, hey, give us all your police for the day. We're going to do a roundup. We don't have the forces to turn them over for no money to the federal government. That's the main aspect of this. The other is we'll give you information, but we're not going to collect unnecessary information anymore. If you come to enroll your child in school, we're not going to ask for your citizenship papers.
Now, what's the status on this ordinance that you're talking about?
Well, this ordinance was shared with the mayor last week. We've already had a conference call with the mayor and her attorney and the lawyer, Estrada. Next week, we're meeting again. And one of our city council members will introduce it on the 18th. It will go to committee at the end of the month, and we're hoping it will pass next month.
And once again, this vigil is going to happen at the outside the Gary Chicago International Airport. It's going to be on Friday, and it'll be between 10:30 and noon. And
there will be a press conference at noon.
Okay. That's
so
great.
That, for example, Sister Joanne, who has interviewed all of these detainees for 11 years will be there, as well as representatives of the different churches and from immigrant societies, organizations will also be there to speak with the press. It's peaceful. We have permission to park in the airport from the executive director and the chairman of the board because they know this is not the best thing for the airport. And so it will be a peaceful demonstration of strength, which we hope will get out into the greater Chicago media, because the people in Chicago, as well as the people here, do not know that deportations have become an every Friday event at the Gary Chicago Airport.
We talk about this compact that had been set up years ago between Mayor Daley at the time and Mayor Barnes at the time. And it was basically what's kind of created the framework to allow the ICE transports out of the area. Is there a likelihood, at least in the view of the airport board, airport authority board, and as well as the city of Gary, that they'd like to revisit this and maybe make some changes?
Well, here's the problem. ICE does not contract with the city. It does not contract with the airport board or with the airport itself. It contracts with a contractor that contracts with the Jet Center. Mm-hmm. And so there are so many layers of organizations in between that they've protected us. But we most likely, it's hard to get information, we most likely do not benefit financially. Certainly, the buses bringing the detainees are from Illinois. The detainees come in with sheriffs from Illinois. The private charter company doesn't hire anyone locally. And so it is a non-job producing, non-profit producing misuse, abuse of our airport.
Let's take a moment now to talk about the next issue that is in the city of Gary, dealing with the Gary Community School Corporation.
We know there's Yikes!
There is a bill that is going through the General Assembly. In fact, there's one version of it. The House is going to take up the Senate bill maybe as early as tomorrow or Thursday. And then, of course, it'll go, because it's a Senate bill, will go to a conference committee for some modifications, reconciliation, as they call it. The version that will come out from that conference committee will then come back to both chambers, Indiana House and Senate, and come up again before the vote hopefully will go on to Governor Holcomb's desk for a decision. This is the bill that, if it's gone through and has been amended since the original writing by State Senator Eddie Melton of Maryville.
It's been amended many times.
It's dealing with the financial issues that the City of Gary's School Corporation is going to work out. It calls for, among other things, the creation of an emergency manager and a special board that will report to the emergency manager to deal with the financial matters of the school corporation. The matters of involving money for the school corporation
will be worse.
And on top of that, it will be taken out of the hands of the Gary School Board, Gary's Community School Board itself. They will no longer be able to handle, they'll only handle the academics.
No, they won't, because the new version of the bill says that all financial and academic decisions will be in the hands of the state-appointed consultant manager. Outside person.
And we should mention, too, this person that will be appointed or hired, as you wish, if you look at it that way, by the Distressed Unit Appeals Board, which is the board of which the Gary Community School Corporation has been having to deal with for some time, ever since they've been in their financial straits.
Here's the problem. It looks like our Republican downstate legislators would like to take the place of government in Northwest Indiana. They are making decisions that apply only to Lake County or only to Gary or only, I mean, there are so many of them, and they just redid this bill. I spoke to Eddie Melton, our senator, last night, and I commend him for his hard work. And I want to mention that he's not the only one. All of our legislators are working on this piece of legislation, because what Eddie pointed out in front of the Senate is that no takeover of academics has worked. It's one thing to take over the finances, but they want to put it all in the hands of one person, although he did say it won't be Jack Martin. He has been a triple failure. After destroying the schools in Detroit, we brought him in to destroy the Gary schools.
Now, do you think that in light of this, that there'll be another amendment that'll come up here before the final vote?
Well, he definitely—
About the academics— taken out of the bill.
They want that taken out. So this Friday, and this is an appeal to everybody in the Gary area, there will be a meeting at on Polk Street where the Gary School Corporation is located. I think it's 1988 Polk.
Yeah, it's former elementary
right,
school.
At 4 o'clock, there will be a legislative update and an explanation of what's happening. And our legislators need you to go, because the possible results of a complete academic and financial takeover spells the end of public education. The other thing that Eddie is putting in is a cap on the number of vouchers that can go to private and charter schools in Gary, because it has become a joke. They have completely defunded the public school system with these vouchers. And then they say, hey, you're not keeping up fixing your schools. We fix the charter schools. The state gives money to the charter schools before it gives it to the public schools.
So someone's having an interesting issue coming up again before the final vote concerning the Senate bill and the version that's going through will be going through the conference committee concerning the Gary Community School Corporation.
I have to tell you one thing else about the vigil, because I'm very proud of this.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
We have an international endorsement. Indivisible Tuscany in Italy has endorsed this protest. Very excited.
I wonder if they can manage to send a representative here.
Well, I asked, and they said probably not. So maybe we should be an endorser and not a sponsor.
Ruth Needleman, before we finish up this conversation, let's take a few minutes and talk briefly, because we don't have much time left, about another issue that is, so to speak, another burr that has gotten under the saddle, and involving something that the legislature is working through, of course, is dealing with the infrastructure, and we're talking in this case roads and bridges, and the way that the legislators would like to deal with it is by increasing the state's gasoline tax. And you see some major inequities with the increase here. Tell us about that.
I cannot express greater inequity. I happen to be the owner of a hybrid. To get this hybrid in 2009, so it's not new, I had to spend an extra $10,000. And in exchange for my concern for the environment, this gas tax bill will penalize me for not using enough gas and will charge me a fine on top of my paying the 10% for gasoline. And if you have an electric car, the fine is even larger. But if you drive a reckless truck, or a safe truck, but if you drive a truck that does more damage to our roads than anything else, you pay less than every citizen and resident in this area. That is so regressive. Regressive means that the poorer you are, the larger percent of your income will go to gas. Something, given our public transportation system, residents have to use, because you can't get from here to there without a car, because buses are so few and far between. So we need less regressive tax. And one last point, I remember when they sold the toll road, and they got big bucks from two international corporations from Australia and Spain. Where did that money go? Now, according to Senator Talian, a lot of that money is sitting in the bottom drawer in the governor's office. And I say, why are we further ripping off some of the poorest people in the state and hoarding money so they can say, we have no deficit? Governments without deficit are not doing their job.